This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nick Ashley with you on The Fan, Team 980. In case you're wondering, Dolphins and Bears are tied at 7. Preseason football, got a little more of it. A little Zach Wilson out there. Hey, he's 3-5 for 79 yards. I got a friend who's a Jets fan. Feel bad for him. He just anticipates every quarterback that once they leave the Jets to actually succeed somewhere else, especially seeing what Sam Darnold did. And I think to myself, I remember being in that position, just expecting everybody to leave Washington, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're not a Redskin anymore, and because that's when it was, and a football team member, too. Yeah, you look and go, oh, look, things are better once you leave it. But it is different now. And look, I one of the things, too, like beyond the Terry McLaurin, and that's obviously been the most polarizing topic by far around this team. And we all get that, right? You understand that. But I think another way that this team has really done business well last year, but also now heading into this year as well to some extent, but a little bit different, is the prove-it deals, right? You're bringing in guys with something to prove. Deebo Samuel's one of the biggest. You get him at 29. You get him for a fifth-round pick. And you get him coming off of a down year. Now, does that guarantee that Deebo Samuel is going to look like a Pro Bowler? There's no guarantee that that's the case. But could we get 1,100 combined yards like in 2023 from him? That's possible. Maybe not 1,400 yards receiving like in 2021. But like, this is somebody that has a very high upside still, especially when you're buying low in those situations. Deebo Samuel's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove. He's tough as hell. And we know what the capabilities are when he's ready to go physically. And by all accounts, right, better shape, not so fat, feeling pretty good. Then again, everybody's in great shape and the best shape of their lives when it's the preseason. You hear that every year. But, like, it's true, right? Think about this, too. Von Miller coming in. Look, Von Miller is a future Hall of Famer. We all can agree on that. But sitting here at 36, does he say, I still got something left in the tank? How they use him, do you give him an opportunity? Maybe he's not out there for as many snaps. You're rotating a lot of these different defensive linemen and linebackers kind of all through it with different defensive schemes to get everybody. Because they're older, right? Like we know, there's a lot of old guys in this defense. It's kind of been a joke. But we thought Bobby Wagner didn't have much left in the tank either. Look at him. Great season last year, exceeded expectations. Back again, one-year deal. I mean, you got some vets. You got some smart future Hall of Famers on this defense that still have something left in the tank where if they're used in the right way, put in the right situations and their time and their snaps, how much they're spending on the field is managed, the week, the recovery, all of that stuff, especially as the season goes on, when you're dealing with something along the lines of bumps and bruises and all that, and recovery matters more, and how many cold plunges they're taking. Right? It's more than that. I'm not going to simplify it, but I kind of just did. But, you know, these are the types of things that if this team can do this, you can maximize that, right? Zach Ertz, great season last year. Kind of, after you kind of thought there was, like, what does Zach Ertz have left in the tank? What did Austin Eckler have left in the tank after his time with the Chargers? These are players where in the past, they've brought in Washington Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith and Jason Taylor. And yeah, we had a little bit out of Bruce Smith. Yeah, Jason Taylor had, there was a tiny little bit of Jason Taylor. What was it, like a season? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are guys that came in at the end of their career where it was all about getting that extra payday. Oh, God, you know, like, I'm not really worth it. Look at the time. Look at how much I got left here. Oh, I could go to Washington. Oh, they'll give me an extra couple of years, extra $10 million. Like, think about the Mark Brunell contract. Now, we're going way back. Mark Brunell was, I want to say, 33 when they brought him in. And I think they gave him, like, a six-year deal. And we're going way back, but I think it was along the lines of, like, a six-year deal. There was just not enough left from him. But the point is that now you can still bring in aging players. You can still bring in veterans, guys that are going to be Hall of Famers, but they're not at... they're not 100% anymore. There's like 85% of what's left from them. But short-term deals, small money, low risk, high reward, that puts you in a great position as an organization for multiple reasons. One, you're getting a veteran presence. That's a big deal in itself, just to have that. Two, you get those bursts of greatness, but not maybe at consistently that level. It's just the guys are just aging. It just happens. Happens to all of us, guys. Like, let's just, right? We all have to deal with it at some point. It happens. But if you can get some of that, rotate them through, every player is used smartly, you're still getting moments of greatness in really important situations, too, because they're veterans and they've been there before. So you've got that. And on top of it, the chip on the shoulder, something to prove. I'm not ready to hang it up yet. I still got something left. That mental edge that you're getting as well, a perfect situation. Now, you can't build an entire roster that way. That'd be a problem. Everybody be old and hurt, and at the end of the year, you got nobody left to play. You're signing guys off the street, and they're going to their sixth quarterback. It's just wasn't that long ago that that happened. Mark Sanchez, starting back in 2018. Oh, boy. But, you know, like, you can mix that in, and that's a really good way to do business if it's handled in the right situation. Now, granted, last year, Adam Peters in the front office went after a ton of players with one-year deals because it was more about, we just got to figure out this roster. We got to figure out what our identity is going to be, you know, what our culture, we got to establish that culture. Let's go get some guys that have something to prove and go from there. And then it's like it really worked out with quite a few names. Some are still there. Some have gone somewhere else and gotten other deals. The team wasn't willing to give them. Either way, that's the way to also fill in your roster. And on top of that, I mean, listen, Brian Robinson's been a part of the organization from the beginning, but like, what does his season look like? Because if you're Brian Robinson right now, we've got a running back that's a seventh-round pick right now that may end up stealing your job, right? Now, I know they're not the same type of player, and you could argue that Bill the running back, is maybe closer to Austin Eckler than Brian Robinson, but if Bill the running back can literally do everything, and he's as good as everybody's hyping him up to be, and as good as he looked in those 16 snaps in the first preseason game, Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be out of a job. Especially with the fumble issues in his history. Like, if he can't have a real year, he might get a small one-year deal with some other team somewhere else. But you think that's what he's thinking? Not as a running back. This is like your one chance. So he, with 1 year left on his deal, also has something to prove. Just the difference is just because it's been inconsistent and he's been in Washington. But, like, come on, man. The run game last year, whew, way too much Jaden Daniels. Now, you don't want to take away what Jaden Daniels can do, that dual-threat quarterback is something that everybody wants in the NFL now, but you've got to find a way to balance it, and you want to see that quarterback improve as a passer. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at how much better Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson is now an elite passing quarterback that also has the ability to run 100 yards on you, too. But he doesn't lean on his legs as much as he used to or as much as he has to. Josh Allen, I'm sure, would love to. Well, he probably maybe wouldn't want to run less, but I'm sure the team would maybe like him to run less, but they don't necessarily have the same weapons and the options for him to do it. But you want to see your quarterbacks not have to rely on their legs so much because you have other weapons that are going to do that for you. And if you've got a more established run game, the pressure that you're taking off of this offense is going to be massive. And if it's not Brian Robinson and he can't live up to that something to prove situation, I mean, at least you're in a spot here where you've got somebody else that can do it. It's clear that they've got other names. They've got other weapons. They've got other guys that can do just that. But the prove-it deals are, I mean, again, Zach Ertz is like one of the go-to guys for Jaden Daniels. It was that way last year. It's been that way in practice so far, along with Austin Eckler, because these guys are smart. And they understand the important situations. And think about like how great this Commanders team was in tight game situations last year. Now, yeah, the main guy was Jaden Daniels. Helps to have a lot of experience in college in big games. And hell, I was talking to a friend about this last night. He's a Ravens fan. And, you know, I mean, they got Lamar Jackson. They're happy in Baltimore. Everybody's got that. But, like, when you watch what Jaden Daniels does, what I was telling him, like, look, dude, like, it matters that Jaden Daniels, one, changed his situation and transferred, right? Went to LSU, tons of big games. And you could argue that a lot of these quarterbacks that have extensive time in college starting, they played in more big games than when they have their rookie year on a bad team in the NFL if you're drafted in, you know, high in the first round, right? I mean, really, a lot of those SEC games, much bigger deal than at least the pressure and the spotlight that was on Jaden Daniels week three of the NFL season last year. So, like, you know, it helps to have these veterans that also are in these positions. And Zach Ertz has been, so, like, you can go out and get these guys. And that's why I really think Deebo Samuel is going to be an extra layer to this offense. And he's going to give them a whole extra set of wrinkles that they didn't have before. Because he can help in that run game, especially if Brian Robinson's fumbling the football or he's fallen out of favor with the coaching staff or whatever the case is. Again, I don't expect him to go out and catch 1,400 yards and 100 balls. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not how he's going to be used. But again, the combined yards, running back, wide receiver, operate him out of the slot, some end arounds, whatever. Get creative. Maybe as a return man. Those types of things are going to help this team all together. And really, if you look around the NFL, like everybody talks about positionless basketball in the NBA. Now, to a point, it's still there, but we're starting to see the bigs get back into the league and really have a level of dominance, but it's just different. And in offenses in the, in general, players in the NBA, much more versatile than they've been in the past. It was much more specialized back in the day. Bigs played in the post, backing guys down. It was simple. Now you've got Nikola Jokic running the floor like a point guard with a dad bod, and you're like, where the hell did this come from? Victor Wembanyama is like Stretch Armstrong. There's a reference for you. Reach of like 8'11". You're watching this guy going, how is he human? He looks like a glitch in NBA 2K. Like, how is he? Michael Jordan in Space Jam stretched out. Like, but that's the game has evolved where players are more versatile, and you have to get the same thing in the NFL. Especially at the running back position. Now, I don't consider Deebo Samuel a running back, but he does get used as a running back, and quite frankly, he's built like a running back, too. So he's going to take away attention from other weapons. Defenses won't be able to key in on Terry McLaurin whenever he's actually out on the field for them. They may not have to rely on Jaden Daniels running as much, hopefully, especially design runs. That's the key, is not the design runs. If he's got to use his legs to break out of pressure, you got to do it. Like, that happens, and you have that. But I'd much rather see Jaden Daniels having to run for his life because of protection broke down than Jaden Daniels' design run, and I'm going, oh, my God, he's going to get popped in the face. Please don't have that happen. We've watched enough of those highlights of him at LSU where he's getting speared, and he's turned like a sideways U falling backwards like a cartoon character. I don't want to see any of that. But Deebo Samuel will add a lot of that extra. And the pressure's off of Jaden Daniels, but also he could be somebody to count on out of the backfield. Little dump off, maybe a third and two, and he's, you know, Debo's in there as your third down back. You could have Austin Eckler and Deebo Samuel out there together in the backfield. What is the defense going to do then? They both can do something very similar on a third and two. Like, there's a lot there that you can do. The versatility on third down is going to be so key. And on top of that, Deebo Samuel comes in with something to prove, with 1 year left on his deal, and a toughness that this team could always add more of. Doesn't mean they didn't have it last year. Clearly, they had mental toughness. They were winning games in situations that made absolutely no sense. But you're now adding another layer to that. And that type of, with the resume that Deebo does have, especially peak Deebo Samuel in San Francisco, you take that, you couple it with his toughness, veteran leadership, something to prove, all of those things, that then trickles down to the young guys. That's how you build culture. Veterans with something to prove that then show it on the field where they may not be 100% of themselves, but the ego is gone, the veteran leadership is there, and the consistency is there when you need it. That's the type of stuff that when you put it in there, you don't see it in a box score, you don't see it in a props market, you don't see it on anybody's fantasy team, but what you do see is you see it on the field and you see it in the locker room with the culture that you're building, and that's how this team has continued to build a great culture within just a year under the Dan Quinn era. It helps with the coach, but it also helps with the guys that you bring in, the veterans, something to prove, all those things. All that stuff absolutely matters, and that's been smart business from day one, from Adam Peters in the front office. They know what they're doing. You may not like the Terry McLaurin situation, but we can at least look at all the other moves, these short-term deals, some of these prove-it guys, clearly some of the draft picks they have. We got something special in that front office. We got something special on this team, too. But it's, again, the expectations a lot different from where they were before than where they are now. Could Jaden Daniels' draft class also make history? Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Practice got started about 20 minutes ago or so. And I do actually think this is a good point he brings up, right? Like, surprised there were no questions about the wide receiver room. Because they know they weren't good Friday. You're right. You can tweet me at Nick Ashew, by the way. And I'm going to say tweet. You're not Xing me. That's weird. You're not posting me, right? Like, I will never call Twitter X. It's Twitter. It'll always be Twitter. I refuse to call it. So you're tweeting me. You're not Xing me. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that is true. There was not there's two reasons why I think nobody really asked about the wide receivers. Well, it was a short press conference. But I think one, it's, yeah, I think kind of lived around where people's expectations were, like not a lot from the rest of the guys that were going to be playing there at wide receiver. But two, it's also hard to gauge what you do have in some of those receivers when the quarterback play, mainly Sam Hartman's, not very good. Now, some of it was receiver's fault, right? Some drop passes, holding penalties, whatever the case is. But there's also then the fact that, like, he just wasn't good. 9 of 19, like, probably lost the third-string quarterback. I mean, we are literally, we are only, the quarterback position has now gone down to who the third-string quarterback is going to be for the Washington Commanders, and that's it. It's a pretty good spot to be in, right? We know Marcus Mariota is going to be the backup, one of the best backups in the NFL. We obviously know what Jaden Daniels can do. We are talking about third-string quarterback. That is a much different situation than where we've been in the past. That's for sure. Riverboat Roy also tweeted me. Yeah, if Terry sits this year, how does that enhance his ability to command $30 million a year at a year older? That's a great point. I do still think Terry has plenty of leverage, given the fact that there's nobody else on the field that can really catch footballs for them, talking about those wide receivers. But it doesn't sit, and that's why, again, he's not going to sit out. They're going to figure this thing out because both sides know they need each other. That's really what it comes down to. Terry knows he needs to get the deal done now. That's why he's digging his heels in. We've never seen this from him before, right? Everybody's like, oh, Terry McLaurin, such a great teammate and such a great professional. Yeah, and this is also business. He's making a point knowing, like, this is now. Because, yeah, once he gets older, it's harder to get that money once you go past 30. Again, Tyreek Hill, the only wide receiver getting $30 million a year at 30 years old right now in the NFL. There's not much. And Tyreek Hill, teams are at least, like, gauging the chance the Dolphins might trade him. I don't think that's going to happen. There's a chance that, like, so this is, it makes sense for both sides to just get the damn thing done. Just get it done. That's it. But it doesn't work that easy. You can't just snap your fingers, this whole, like, just, come on, Adam Peters, just sign. I'm just saying, no, you have to, you can't just give in to everything. Because if you do that, you've set a precedent for every other negotiation moving forward. And the Commanders have a lot of bills to pay moving forward. You got a lot of deals coming up in 2026 that you're going to start talking about next offseason. And they're thinking about that right now. I promise you that. Really. I mean, it's the number of big names on this roster for the Commanders that's going to have a deal that will need to be negotiated by Adam Peters going into next year is a long, long list. And players don't want to go into a lame duck season. They don't want to go into a year where they've got to sit there and think about what the offseason is going to look like and whether they're going to get a deal. Now, not everybody has that leverage, okay? So, sure, you're not going to have everybody sitting there, but Laremy Tunsil is going to want a new deal next offseason because he's a free agent after the 2026 season. And that's just one. Frankie Louvu, going to want a new deal. He's going to be a free agent after the 2026 season. That's another guy right there. Marshawn Lattimore, going to want another deal. Tyler Biadasz, going to want another deal. All free agents after the 2026 season. Now, that may seem like a million years away for you, but it ain't. Oh, and then in 2027, you know, you can start talking new contract with extension. There's this guy, Jaden Daniels, could make over $500 million. Because, yes, that's what Patrick Mahomes got years ago. You can start talking deal with him then. Now, you've got 5 years and the fifth-year option and all those things with Jaden. I get that. But let's be honest with ourselves. With Jaden Daniels, if he continues to trend in the direction that he's trending, are you waiting? Are you going to do what the Cowboys do and wait and negotiate a whole lot more and just say, look, he's got to want to get paid too, and we're going to take our time and play this stupid game when you know in the end you're going to give them the contract, Jerry Jones. Don't do what Jerry Jones does if you're the Commanders and if you're Adam Peters. Don't wait on your quarterback. They did it twice with Dak Prescott. They did it with CeeDee Lamb. They're doing it with Micah Parsons, and I'm glad they are. I hope Jerry Jones lives to 100 and always has the control of all the deals and how everything is done in Dallas, because it means there'll always be a mess, and I love it. But if you're Washington, you got to do the math. You have to think of all of those things. Terry's not going to sit out the whole year. The worst that he could do is the Trent Williams situation years ago. Come back when you have to come back, and then, oh, my hamstringer, oh, my knee, or oh, my back, oh, spinal. Just sit out, right? But you're at least back there and you're hurt. Then the year doesn't count, and it's the whole we don't need to get into all the CBA stuff because it's going to bore the hell out of you. I get it. But the reality of it is he can't just sit out the entire season. Ask Le'Veon Bell, right? So, like, this stuff does matter. But the Commanders are at least in a spot, right? It's kind of a champagne problem. You're in win now mode and you got to pay your receiver. And he's not 35, he's 30, almost 30. I mean, Mike Evans got a 2-year, $41 million deal a couple years ago when he was 30. So you do the math, that's less than $30 million a year. Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer. Calvin Ridley just got 4 years, $92 million from the Titans at 29. Cortland Sutton, 4-year, $92 million extension from the Broncos right before he turned 30. So we're kind of in that realm there, kind of in that spot, and that's why the Commanders and Adam Peters are absolutely within their right to say, look at all these other deals right here. Now, if you want to compare individual receivers, I'm for that. I understand the value of Terry McLaurin, the type of receiver that he is. But that being said, I'm not putting him on the level of Justin Jefferson, and I'm not putting him on the level of Ja'Marr Chase. I'm just not. Some of it's just maybe speed or some athleticism or whatever, and we can have that argument, but at the end of the day, that's going to be subjective for a lot of it, and it is what it is. But I can tell you right now, if you were building a team and you have Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Terry McLaurin on the board, and we're drafting an entire new NFL completely across, and you need a wide receiver, are you taking Terry McLaurin over Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase? I know you're not. You're just not. You're lying to yourself if you say that you are. And it doesn't mean that I don't love Terry McLaurin and think that he's great for this team and his value and all of those things. But the reality of this is that Justin Jefferson, and again, the money's not even being compared to them, but I'm just saying, keep that in mind when we start comparing wide receivers here. But it's not selfish to maximize your income whatsoever. But I'll tell you what, this Commanders roster is going to get very expensive very, very quickly. Once you have to start paying that quarterback. And listen, we're going to have a run on big quarterback contracts potentially over the next few years. We just saw J.J. McCarthy make his debut. Now, we got a long way to go. He's the last quarterback from that six quarterbacks first-round draft. That's a really wordy way to say it. There were six quarterbacks drafted in the first round last year. J.J. McCarthy was hurt, never got a chance to see him on the field at all. Did look 4 of 7 in his preseason debut. 8-yard fourth-down run. But it's very rare that quarterback classes where multiple guys are drafted in the first round, everybody turns out to be at least a really good high-end starter in the NFL, like top 15, just to kind of give it a round number there. If you go back and look, it's a very, very rare thing. Now, it's too early. The jury's still out on everybody from this past draft class, right? 2024, or the one we just had, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart. We just saw a little bit of them in the preseason, but we want to be careful with what we judge in the preseason. But with Caleb Williams, up and down rookie year, but you chalk that up to coaching staff, situation in Chicago, nothing was good. Another great example of how situation can dictate the success of a young quarterback. At least the Bears were smart enough to say, let's go all in. Offensive line, new head coach, all about offense. They should have done that a year ago, but here we are in Chicago. We know what Jaden did his rookie year. Drake May looked pretty good once he finally got out there and started for New England last year. Michael Penix Jr. I mean, you draft him where you draft him when you already paid all that money to Kirk Cousins, whether it was all guaranteed or not. That's part of your future. He was out there his rookie year. Bo Nix looked pretty good. But every single one of those quarterbacks, and now throwing J.J. McCarthy into the mix, do you really think that all six are going to become stars in this league? Now, what would make this draft class historic, specifically the first-round picks at quarterback from 2024, are if all of them have 10-year careers as a starter. Honestly, like that is already a massive accomplishment for all of them because it's that hard to have every quarterback that's drafted in the first round when we're talking more than one. I mean, you go back. I mean, obviously one of the glaring ones, Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. We know how that turned out. We know how Andrew Luck and RG3 turned out, where rookie year, both of them look great, and then for different reasons, neither panned out. Organizational malpractice in Indianapolis, injuries and ego, and maybe a dad getting too involved in Washington and a really bad owner. But different factors ruined the chances to see what maybe the ceilings were for both of those players. Bryce Young, number one overall pick back in 2023. I think we've seen from year one to year two, really halfway through this year, this past season, you watched the guy grow and you went, oh, maybe he's not a bust after all. C.J. Stroud, even though there was a little bit of a sophomore slump year two, okay, great second year. But then there's Anthony Richardson. That was the third quarterback drafted in the first round 2 years ago. Anthony Richardson's not even going to start for the Colts. I'm telling you now, Daniel Jones is winning that job. It's not going to be Anthony Richardson. But Anthony Richardson had no business starting for the Colts his rookie year. He barely had any experience as a starter at Florida or in high school. It's just not enough experience, period. Bring the guy along slower. We rush these quarterbacks because those big deals come along and you want to maximize. Listen, I understand the business side of like maximizing Jaden Daniels' contract, right? Rookie contract. Oh, he's going to get really expensive. Let's bring in some other stars and spend money elsewhere. And we've seen other teams do this, and that's how you win. And you get all, you spend that money elsewhere, and then you figure it out later. Okay, but if you're starting quarterbacks right away that aren't ready to be starters, they're not getting to that next contract. So who gives a damn? Then you're starting over again. So sometimes you're thinking too. We see these teams thinking so much about the financial impacts that they don't actually think about what's going on the field. That if your quarterback can't make it to another contract, or at least as a starter in the NFL, who cares? Who cares if you saved money at the quarterback position because you started him his rookie year? Does it matter? 2022 doesn't matter. You only had Kenny Pickett. He's already a backup with the 162 quarterbacks that are in Cleveland right now. But even 2021, Zach Wilson's playing right now. Preseason game. Looks pretty good for the Dolphins. But he's already on, what, his third team? Right? Zach Wilson's been all over the place. Really out of his draft class right there. Trevor Lawrence, the best one, got a big deal. But like, do you look at Trevor Lawrence and still have questions? I do. I'm not ready to write Trevor Lawrence off. I think he's a higher-end starter in this league with still a higher ceiling. But I mean, you had Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Justin Fields after that. And Mac Jones. Those were all first-round picks. Who's left? That was another draft class in 2021 with tons of quarterbacks going in the first round. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, that's five. Every single one of those guys I mentioned, except for Trevor Lawrence, is already a backup. So there is a chance that this quarterback class of 2024 is historically good. But we're talking just everybody as a consistent starter, as like the floor. It's really hard to nail it at quarterback, as we know in Washington, right? It is something that is insanely hard to do. And if all of these pan out, it's great for the league. It's great for you as a football fan, because the more great quarterback play we have in the NFL from just games in general makes Red Zone a lot more fun to watch, which I guess is now on ESPN, sort of. They own it. Whatever. So, yeah, like, there is a chance that, like, I'm not going to write off Caleb Williams yet. I know he said that if you saw it, the throwing net video where he just couldn't get anywhere close to any of the targets and he just got all mad and walked off and said it was a joke mad or his pretend mad or whatever. I don't know. Looked pretty serious to me. There's a lot of pressure on him. A lot of pressure on him heading into this year, but there's a chance. There's a chance that this whole draft class works out, and it's going to be a lot of money for a lot of quarterbacks. That's for damn sure. All right, if you're listening on the Team 980, we take you up until 3. We're on the Fan. We're on the Team 980. Nick Ashew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, Browns fans, I've always said that, like, there are certain fan bases that I can kind of just relate to for so long. I was talking about my friend that's a Jets fan earlier and just the suffering and him watching. Like, I will never forget last year at one point him saying to me, you know, I'm so jealous of you guys. You have a quarterback and your franchise is going in the right direction. And I'm like, you remember I'm in Washington? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're in a different world now. Like anybody that's suffered, you're a fan of any team, whatever it is, don't you just kind of like relate to another fan base where you watch them going through the same thing? Unless it's the Cowboys or something, then, you know, suffer all you want. I'd love to watch it, but that's different. Like, Browns fans deserve to have nice things. And I know everybody gets all annoyed. They're like, oh, everybody talks about Shedeur Sanders more than Cam Ward. Well, yeah. You know why? Because Cam Ward and the Titans are not interesting. They're just going about their business. And that's good for them. You don't want to have all the pressure and the spotlight on you. There is nobody more polarizing in the draft class that we just had this year. And I'm talking about the 2024 quarterback draft class and six first-round picks at quarterback and, you know, how they could all, what the ceiling is and all that. How about this? The most polarizing in this is a fifth-round pick. And yeah, he looked good on Friday. But situation really does dictate the success of a young quarterback. So I get that nobody wants to fall. Right, like, no player wants to be in that position that for a while it was like Aaron Rodgers was the poster child of a player falling in the draft, right? Oh, look at him. Falling to the Packers all the way at the end of the first round. Aaron Rodgers worked out fine for him. Whether you like him or not, it worked out fine for him in Green Bay. But that's now been overtaken with Shedeur Sanders falling all the way to the fifth round as the, like, the definition, the picture, the AI-generated image of quarterback falling and free-falling in the NFL draft. Normally, you would say that would be all right if it's a good situation. The problem is that the Cleveland Browns don't really have a great track record of quarterback development, do they? Except for getting Joe Flacco off the street. Well, it's not off the street. It was more off the couch in his front yard throwing the football with his kids. But that worked out well for him when he came back to Cleveland. But, like, for the most part, how's the quarterback situation worked out in Cleveland? If you think it's been bad for us, man, it's been a whole lot worse in Cleveland, hasn't it? And then they think they got their guy in Deshaun Watson. And that, oh, God, that did not work. So the situation can dictate the success for the Shedeur Sanders. Talent can overcome the rest of it. But there's a limit to how far that young talent can take you if you're beating your head against the wall constantly with an organization that can't figure out fill in the blank, right? Like, if the Bears hadn't changed course with their coaching staff and some of the, you know, roster moves they made this offseason, Caleb Williams could continue to trend down this year. I think we're going to see a much better Caleb Williams this year around. But, you know, if you look at where Shedeur Sanders is now, again, preseason, we don't want to get overly reactive here. I'm watching Zach Wilson look pretty good right now in Miami, but, like, that doesn't mean he's going to win the job over Tua. We know that's not going to happen. But you know what I mean? Like, you still at least watch and go, okay, Shedeur Sanders has some of those. Like, you can watch some of the footwork. You can watch the throws that he makes. That first touchdown he threw was through three defenders. He threaded the needle on the move through three defenders. Pretty good throw. Like, the kid can play. And there were a lot of other factors in there. The attention. You know, maybe people just didn't want Deion around. There was fear that Deion Sanders could take their job as your head coach. Like, all that stuff. Some of it may have been ridiculous, but that's the reality. That's the stuff that went on. But it's like, Browns fans, I look at them and go, man, Browns fans deserve nice things. They really do. And if Shedeur Sanders does end up working out, then they get to have the story of this guy fell all the way to us and it was destiny. And this is, now, I'm not saying that I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a franchise quarterback, but I think he's way better than a fifth-round pick. And there's going to be a lot of teams that regret not drafting him. I also don't think that you should be stupid enough to start him right away, no matter how good he looks in the preseason or in training camp or practice or any of those things. Give Joe Flacco the start if you're Cleveland. Why? Like, really? Why would you force a fifth-round pick out there? There's no need. Let him sit. Let him develop. It's what the Colts should have done with Anthony Richardson. Why do we have to rush quarterbacks out on the field all the time? I mean, I know why. You do it because there's pressure from the front office on the coaching staff. There's pressure from the fan base for that star to get butts in the seat and show we've got a bright future. And there's pressure to maximize that rookie contract and saving money. And it doesn't matter. Again, if that quarterback does not make it to the big contract, does it matter that they started week one of their rookie year? I can tell you now it doesn't. We know it doesn't. So just because everybody's been all excited for the last 36 hours or so, Shedeur Sanders and how he looked in that preseason game, I don't know if it's been 36 hours, I just guessed, but I think so. Like, at the end, you don't start in week one, Cleveland. Don't be stupid. Don't blow it. Give the kid a chance to actually succeed. It's good for a start. Listen, the more great quarterback play we have in the NFL, better the product is. Because as much as we may want to dabble in some spring football, the quarterback play is really bad in the UFL. I mean, how much are you watching it? Maybe a little or not at all. Maybe you're just betting on it. I don't know. But we don't have great quarterback play. It's the most important position. We all know it. And when it's not good, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch. All right, taking you up to 3 on the Team 980 up until Nats coverage at 3:30 on The Fan. I'm Nick Ashew. Nick Ashew on The Fan, Team 980. Nats coverage on The Fan coming up after me next hour. I was expecting to hear a little bit more from Dan Quinn today. If you missed that earlier, his press conference with the media a little before 2. Heard what he had to say. Not much about the wide receivers at all. I think that there are little concerns that are going to be there that the coaching staff is going to look at, special teams specifically. Special teams was a mess. But we know the third string quarterback battle is probably not going to be, it's probably going to be Josh Johnson winning that. And I'd rather have the veteran back there. If you keep Sam Hartman on the practice squad, I mean, okay. But he hasn't really looked like anybody that you get all that excited about. Like, he's probably going to the UFL soon. And that's fine. Great hair, you know? I respect the guy's hair game, that's for sure. Quarterback, probably not going to do much in the NFL, that's for sure. Let's go to Paulie, who's been waiting for a while. Paulie, you're on The Fan. What's up?
What up, what up? Hail to the W, man. What's going on, Nick? Hey, real quick, man. I'm hearing all the, and you ain't the first person talking, is this, the Bill guy replacing Brian Robinson. Man, we need to slow down on Bill. Okay, he has some talent and all that, but if we're talking about one preseason game against a team that was 4-13 last year. You know, we need to stop this. Like, the guy he needs to be worried about trying to, the job he needs to take is Jeremy McNichols. All right? McNichols is the guy who can pass protect, a la Cincinnati game Monday night when he threw that big block on that touchdown pass to Terry. You know, McNichols is the guy that comes down and gets big hits to make tackles on special teams. You know, McNichols is the guy that comes in and fills in for Austin Eckler when Eckler's injured or whatever. McNichols is the guy that was running all over Arizona defense in regular season games. So we need to calm down with automatically just getting jettisoned B-Rob off the team and starting Bill. Like, Calm down. It's preseason, man. The guy that Bill needs to be trying to take time from is Jeremy McNichols. Yeah. And I see McNichols on his team for all those reasons. And I'll let you go, man. Have a great afternoon.
That's a great point. I appreciate that, Paul. Yeah, we got a hard out coming up here, so I got to go quick. But I will say this. Look, one thing, because this was probably – Paulie's talking about something, and it was probably about 40 minutes ago that I was talking about. Brian Robinson Jr. is in a contract year, and he still has a lot to prove to get that next deal. And if it's not in Washington, clearly it can be somewhere else. Look at Antonio Gibson going off to New England. But the key here is, and again, we're calling him Bill the running back. I'm just going to do it. This is going to be, he's Bill the running back forever now at this point. Yeah, he's likely not going to step in week one and be the first and second down back for this team. Again, not even the same running back that Brian Robinson Jr. is. Better pass catcher out of the backfield as well. But that being said, you know, there's a little bit of Austin Ekeler there too. Austin Ekeler, great receiver out of the backfield, even more of a receiver than even, you know, that situation with Bill. I can't do this. I can't do it. I can't call him Bill. Anyway, the point is that, yes, Brian Robinson Jr. is somebody that is going to still, you want, if you're the coaching staff, you want him to be your number one running back heading into the season. But that's early. Things can change as the season goes on. Things can evolve, and if we go down the road that we went last year with the inconsistencies in that backfield, we might see six different running backs out in that backfield quite a bit this year for Washington. Some of it's different scenarios, some of it's just who's playing well at that moment, who's not fumbling, whatever the case is, but they do need to get that settled. They've got to make that thing work, because if Terry McLaurin's a little behind to start the season, I don't want to see Jaden Daniels run the ball 10 times a game. It's too much. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to deal with it. But you got at least enough names and enough potential in that backfield. I wanted to see more Chris Rodriguez last year. I think there were flashes of him where you said, oh my gosh, I mean, you watch him and go, he's perfect. Like, this guy should get way more time. All right, if you're on the Team 980, we're done. If you're on the Fan, we're taking you up till 3:30 when Nats coverage is going to start. Nick Ashew on the Fan, Team 980. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm on Twitter. Always Twitter. We're calling it Twitter. At Nick Ashew. All the socials. Yeah. I've done a lot of... we're going to call it soul searching. That's what we're going to call this. And I've been just... After that first preseason game, and some of the conversations I've had, I was hanging out with a couple of friends last night. One's an Eagles fan and one's a Ravens fan. So it shows, like, I accept all people into my life, okay? But half the time the conversation with them was, yeah, we feel like we're the two best teams in the NFL. You got an Eagles fan and a Ravens fan sitting around last night. We're hanging out, and I'm just like, guys, but I can't argue with it. Like, I really can't. I'll be honest with you. Right now, if you had to gauge all the teams in the NFC East as a Commanders fan, if you're not a Commanders fan, you might feel a little bit differently. But for a majority of this audience, you're Commanders fans, right? I feel like I've gotten to the point now, the Cowboys are always at the top. If I were to rank all of the other NFC East teams, Cowboys, it's always the same. Like, I just can't stand them. Always going to feel the same way. The rivalry is there for me, even when the Commanders and all their other names haven't been relevant, and the Cowboys, at least in the regular season, have. The Giants, just kind of laugh at. I feel like they're the little brother that just hasn't been able to get it right for years. After at one point being a really respectable organization. But now there's the Eagles, and I've got this emotional dilemma here that I'm trying to deal with, and I really started to see it more last night, because coming off of a season where, yes, the Commanders lost in the NFC Championship game, and didn't just lose. I mean, God, just run off the field. I should feel pretty good as a fan of this team, right? You should feel pretty good as a fan of the Commanders. 12 wins, NFC Championship game, even with how it ended. But when it's an Eagles fan saying something, and he wasn't even acting like a real Eagles fan. Like, we've been friends for a long time. But when there's all of this excitement from Eagles fans about their team and their season this year, and they just won a Super Bowl, and I can't say anything negative about them. I mean, we can bring up all the cliches about Philadelphia fans and this, and that, like, that's kind of played out, like, whether it's... Yeah, you know, it's a thing, but like it just feels old, doesn't it? It's just what do you say about the Eagles? As much as it pains me to say this, what do you say about the Eagles that's negative at this point. I mean, individual spots on the roster, right? You might go, oh, well, you got Howie Roseman is as good as any general manager in the NFL and maybe in professional sports. When they have issues, he identifies the problem and he fixes it. He finds it in free agency, he finds it in the draft, finds the talent. I mean, it is, that Eagles team is so talented and so well constructed. There's a reason why Eagles-Ravens is looked at as, I mean, one of the favorites to be the Super Bowl matchup this year. Whether you dabble in that world or not, that's, you know, it's just, I can't now, at least. And even think about this. After the, maybe you saw these videos surfacing around social media and maybe you didn't. But there was a point after that Eagles-Commanders NFC Championship game. Now remember, Commanders getting run off the field, looked like the little brother. But when it's all said and done and the dust settles, 12 wins, NFC Championship game, far exceeding expectations, pretty much doubling your win total before the, you know, your preseason win total, you feel pretty good. There were Eagles fans and Commanders fans in the parking lot after that game chanting "Dallas sucks" together in unison, as though two enemies had come together to fight against a common enemy in the Dallas Cowboys. I still to this day can't get that scene out of my head. I still don't even know how to feel about that this many months later. But it's just such a different position to be in from the past to where we are now, where the preseason is about depth and how those guys performed in you know, first preseason game and what the third and fourth string quarterback look like and Sam Hartman and Josh Johnson and, you know, receiver depth we know is a problem. Special teams is still a problem. Like, there are legit problems. I don't want to downplay the issues that we had in front of us in that first preseason game. But that being said, you still look at this and see a team that's so far ahead of schedule. The thing is because of last year, now you've sped up the timeline. So the win now is the main focus instead of just building for the future, yet you still have to think about both timelines, right? Like, you have to think about how you can build off of a 12-win team, an NFC championship berth, one win away from going to the Super Bowl, but yet you have a roster that really overachieved last year, that had a lot of, you know, prove-it contracts, one-year deals, guys come in and later in their careers. Well, there's a lot of patchwork. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. A lot of this Commanders roster last year was patchwork. Getting guys in, short-term deals, let's build the culture, let's figure this thing out, let's draft some talent, let's build young with some veterans around them, go from there. Worked out better than anybody could have imagined. But now, it's kind of the double-edged sword, where it's great. You're happy to have a team that now in year two, the conversation is about getting to the Super Bowl under the new head coach, under the new general manager, under the second-year quarterback that has a chance to be an MVP. But you have to go about business differently. And that's why the Terry McLaurin situation has been so complicated, because in any other situation, in any other, you know, timeline, Terry McLaurin's getting traded. You do understand that, right? In any other situation other than now, Terry McLaurin is getting traded. He's not getting traded now, but he's getting traded if the Commanders were a 7-win team last year and looking to still rebuild and bring in a lot of young talent and pile up draft picks and all of those things. They're not even having this conversation with him about $30 million a year and what the back end of the contract looks like and holdouts and trade requests and all that. And the trade request we know isn't really like authentic. It just is part of the blueprint that takes step by step to get to this point in these negotiations. But they're taking the draft picks. Like, there are reports now that teams are monitoring Tyreek Hill's situation in Miami. It wasn't that long ago that the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill to Miami for a bunch of picks because they didn't want to pay him. Now, the Chiefs were able to do that because you've got Patrick Mahomes, who makes everybody around him better. Yes, you could say what you want about some of the turnovers, or look at the receivers that Mahomes has had to work with. So let's just not even open up that let's not even open up that can. It does not exist. So don't even try that, okay? But like, it's not unreasonable to talk about Super Bowl anymore in Commanders in the same sentence. In the past, that was a fanboy thing to do. And I got so sick of the people trying to justify every single year where it was like, oh, God, this year is going to be different. No, it's not. It's not going to be different. And it was never different. But now it actually is different. But that also brings about a lot of change and a lot of different approaches that they may not have even had in mind this time last year. Look, you could give everybody in that organization truth serum, and I doubt you would find very few, if anybody, that truly, deep down, in the depths of their soul, thought they would be a 12-win team last year. Now, you could say, all right, I could see them going 9-8. I think there are people that maybe believe that. Nobody expected what you got out of that. Again, it's a good problem to have. But there is a chance, possibly, that the Commanders do regress this year, yet are still a better team. And what I mean by that is you could win 10 games, and you could see maybe Jaden Daniels, let's not even talk like a sophomore slump, but not ascend to the level and the trajectory that you have in mind, that the team has in mind, that the national, local media, everybody has in mind. And some of it's just tougher schedule, more film on Jaden Daniels, and teams finding little things that have bothered him throughout the season, or Cliff Kingsbury's offense not evolving as the season goes on. Because remember, there was that point towards the back end of the schedule, we were going, uh-oh, is this that Cliff Kingsbury meltdown we see late in seasons? He's just not a head coach this time. But they turned that around, and things obviously, we know how that all ended up. But like, they could technically regress, but still actually be a better team. So there's a lot here, and this, listen, in the end, it's a good problem to have. You'd much rather be building a roster, be building an organization, a culture, all of that, that's ahead of schedule than behind. Nobody's taking any other thing. But business has to be done differently. And that's why I will say, time and time again, that if anybody tells you that Terry McLaurin doesn't have leverage, they are lying to themselves and they are lying to you. He has leverage in this situation. Because we saw nothing from any other receiver in that first preseason game. And I get that there was bad quarterback play at times, but listen, Josh Johnson was serviceable. Sam Hartman was wildly inaccurate, but there were also some things that were on other receivers as well that were part of the problem. You at least wanted to see more from Jalen Lane or Luke McCaffrey, and maybe you will in the second game. Maybe you start to see a little bit more of that offense. And again, there's only so much that's going to be showcased in these preseason games as opposed to practice when it's closed and nobody's got cameras in front of the really important stuff that they're practicing. There's a big difference between those two. But Terry McLaurin has now had the leverage pendulum swing his way. And if that continues, because he's likely not playing against the Bengals at this point, no matter what happens with the contract, he could sign right now. I could get an alert from Adam Schefter that says, Terry McLaurin has signed an extension. He's probably not playing against the Bengals still. He's got to catch up. He's got to make up for lost time. So either way, this whole offense is still going to be behind. And the leverage is, hey, look at me and the drop-off after me. By the way, Deebo Samuel, again, I put him kind of in a separate category here. First two passes in 7-on-7 at practice today. Touchdowns from Jaden Daniels to Deebo Samuel. So, just saying. Deebo's going to be a weapon for them without question. But he's going to just he's going to be used a little bit differently. But he will. He will take away some of the attention on Terry McLaurin whenever he's out there. But there's a trickle-down effect in all of this, and the team knows that. It's not just about what you're seeing publicly with the trade request and the holdout and the distraction that's not a distraction and all of these things. It's not just that. It's also about the offense missing their most important weapon besides the quarterback. It's also about the offense and the timing that it's missing with guys like Deebo Samuel, who's new, having to know where Terry McLaurin's going to be at all times, and crossing routes and things like that, the complicated layers to this offense that they're going to have to make sure they're working together on. Those are the things that matter. It's Terry McLaurin getting in football shape. I don't care how professional or hardworking you are, it's not the same as football shape and, you know, holding in and working out are not the same things. And they won't be until they're actually on the field and you're taking some level of hits. And I know guys don't have the same physical training camp and preseason that we used to, which makes it that much more complicated heading on early in the season. And we could say a lot of things about Brandon Ayuk and the holdout with the 49ers and how long that took and how bad he looked on the field and unprepared and just not ramped up and ready to go before he got hurt. And you could even argue, we don't know for sure, but did that contribute at all to him tearing his ACL? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend here. But what I am going to say is, it did not work out well, and you don't want to see Terry McLaurin go that route. And I am more concerned about Terry McLaurin not being ramped up and ready to go early in the season, and this offense sputtering or looking like they're lacking some chemistry, or they're looking like they just need more time together, or whatever the case is, and then falling behind early in the season. I'm more concerned about that than Terry McLaurin not being on the roster or available to play week one. I'm far more concerned about him being ready for actual real football than whether or not he's going to get how much guaranteed money in the third year of his deal. I'm not worried about that as much, and you shouldn't be either. The bigger issue is not whether this is going to get done. It's what that looks like once it gets done and how long that takes. Because the one thing about this team, when we talk about a timeline getting moved up, and we talk about them having different expectations and sped up expectations compared to last year and what we thought this time last year and what they were going to do. The one thing that that also now adds is they have not really been in a true situation of real adversity. Yes, they had some moments in the season of adversity, sure. But the expectations were still, this is a fun team that's exceeding any expectations that are there. That is no longer the case. The Commanders and Super Bowl are used in the same sentence now, and it's not somebody that's drunk, all right? It is a legit conversation. And if this team starts off, let's just throw out a hypothetical. They're 0-2. Ravens have done it. They've been fine, but they've been around for a while, right? Like, how does this team handle adversity? Do I think they've already built a culture in the short time that this group has all come together that can handle it? I do. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to be some level of a distraction. And if you start off early in the second year of this group, let's say, and things don't look like it did last year, do doubts creep in? Do worries creep in? Do second-guessing situations creep in? How much does that affect the team? A lot, a little. We won't know, and hopefully it won't even be a situation that has to be watched. But it's a possibility that's there. So there is a trickle-down effect from this Terry McLaurin negotiation that goes far beyond whether he's going to get $30 million a year as a 30-year-old. It's far more than that. Those are the bigger issues. They got the Bengals in a little over a week and joint practice with the Ravens after that. Essentially 2 weeks from first preseason game to final preseason game. That natural ramp up really matters. From a physical standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, all this stuff matters. And that's where this team is falling behind a lot more. And that's the biggest problem. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Dan Quinn spoke earlier to the media. Metal Chris giving me a little metal at the end here. There you go. Yeah, I would expect. So here's, if game two, the second preseason game against the Bengals, looks like it did against the Patriots, that's when I'll start panicking. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is weird. This is the most calm I've ever been about this team, other than just being indifferent, knowing that it's going to be a horrible season. Right? This is the most calm that I've felt about this team in a long, long time. Now, that could change, right? But I just don't expect Terry McLaurin to not be ready for week one of the regular season, at least on the field. I am concerned about whether or not he's going to be physically ready and caught up to speed and there's chemistry with the offense and everything's working out. That's a big piece. It's not out there right now. But Deebo Samuel, again, like I said, two passes, two touchdowns from Jaden Daniels at practice just now. Everybody's getting all excited about that. So, but there were a lot of concerns in that game against the Patriots. It doesn't mean that you just wipe it all clean and say, well, 30 guys were out, it doesn't count. It's that you don't get overly crazy about it. But as Dan Quinn pointed out, yeah, there were some concerns there.
As certain ones, Nicky, I feel like, man, there's really, you know, strong ones. That sometimes happens. I see that at running back and at tight end, defensive line. And then there's others, okay, you know, keep digging. In fact, you know, we have a workout later on this afternoon, you know, post-practice, and, you know, to continue to look at some guys. And one thing I've come to really appreciate about Adam and his staff is, like, there's a chance to get better. We're going to dig in and find ways to do that, and we'll continue to do that.
Again, you have to look at the little things in the early and then the last preseason game. Like, the first one is about what is just the overall depth and some of the main glaring, like special teams. Again, you got a lot of guys that are using special teams to make the roster. So that's a really important thing to keep an eye on. The second preseason game is when you're going to see more of the starters, and it's, do they have the timing? Does the offense look in sync? Does the defense look like it's, you know, proper assignments and getting to the quarterback and what, you know, all the different more with more starters involved. Then the third is just like, okay, who still has a chance to maybe make this roster? That's generally how this stuff goes for the most part. And there's no quarterback battle this year except for third string, which is fine. That being said, listen, there were some bright spots in that blowout loss to the Patriots. Dan Quinn talked about that too earlier.
Yeah, I really like the group of safeties. I think that's one that jumps out to me from not just playing on defense, but their role on special teams. So that part at corner, I feel stronger than we felt before. So those would be two, Nikki, that jump out to mind to me. And running back, I would say if there was a third one to throw into the group. There's a lot of competition, and it's, even though the game happens, it's like good to remind ourselves, man, there's a lot of camp to go for us, evaluations and practices this week into a game, next week a joint, next week a game. So the next 2 weeks as coaches and players, it's a lot of fun, and you really push it to see where you can take it, because opportunities are there, but you do have to go take it.
Yeah, and Trey Amos was great in the 13 snaps that he was out there, and Bill Kroski Merritt looked really good in the 16 snaps that he got. It doesn't dictate that these guys are going to necessarily be stars for this team. Again, we've had lots of preseason heroes in the past with this organization. Trey Amos is different. Second round pick. This is not somebody that was taken in the seventh round like Bill was. Bill, the running back, was a seventh round pick, but they love him. But we've seen that a lot in the NFL. Listen, Alfred Morris had some damn good seasons. I know it was a short period of time, but he ran for 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns his rookie year for the Redskins back then. You know, and this guy was kind of an afterthought, and then all of a sudden it went, oh, who is this Alfred Morris? Oh, wow. Oh, and he wins the starting job. So that type of thing does happen. It happens with every team, and it certainly happens, you know, with this organization too. Listen, 7 carries and 24 yards for Kroski Merritt's not like a ton, but you could see the vision and the cuts, and like he can see the field well. And the coaches have been raving about him throughout camp. Almost had a 16-yard reception. I mean, he did, but then it was called back because of holding. So, like, he can get out of the backfield and make plays as a receiver on top of that. There, let's put it this way. The ceiling for this Commanders offense specifically, very, very high. Because you have a lot of versatile weapons that are out there. You have interchangeable parts in the backfield. You're now going to have somebody like Deebo Samuel that can bring an extra set of wrinkles that you didn't have before. If you have Terry McLaurin at his best, we know what Terry McLaurin can do. One of the best receivers in the NFL. The question then becomes, after Deebo and after Terry McLaurin, who else do you have? Well, you think it's probably going to be Noah Brown, but he's been hurt, so haven't had a chance to see him at all yet. Does he kind of step into that number two role with Deebo as the, you know,
Nick Ashe,
the slot receiver that's there? I don't know why I'm talking to myself. What? What'd you do, Chris? We got 4 minutes left in the show.
Just working on some podcasting here.
Well, thank you
know.
For podcasting me. Weird. Still don't like hearing my own voice. It threw me off.
Feel like you're
bit.
Talking to yourself sometimes doing this show solo?
Well, let me tell you something, man. I talk to myself all the time. Though they say, psychological studies say that people that talk to themselves, it's healthy. So I'm just going to go with that. My wife feels differently. Shut up. Talk too much. Just sometimes you just got to, I get it. She's just like, look, I just have to tune you out because you talk all the time. And I'm like, I get it. I'm not even mad. It's just the truth. But when you hear yourself, it's very different. But yeah, again, I'm they've got a lot of guys that still have an opportunity to win a spot. Just as at the running back position alone. Trey Amos sounds like he's going to be somebody. Joe Witt has been just gushing over this guy, right? Just, oh, loves him. But they needed help in the secondary. So, again, I look at this and see a team that has a ceiling that is, like, the best case scenario for the Commanders is getting to the Super Bowl, right? And that is a legit, true expectation that makes sense, that is reasonable, given what we saw last year. And there is also a chance that they could be just a better team than last year. Not a, oh, they overachieved it. No, this is just they build on last year, and they're truly better. There's also a chance that they're a better team, but their record doesn't show it. But there's a lot of things you can factor into this year. The key is everything is in a different place than where it was before, across the board. And it's why for years on this station, on 980, on all of the TV, everything that I've been on in D.C., every show that I've ever hosted, everything I've ever been a part of, I have said, until ownership changes, we will always watch a suffering fan base and a suffering organization, because teams that are held hostage by bad ownership are always going to be spinning their tires in the mud. You're not going to be getting out of that, because that culture always trickles down. Now it's a true fresh start. And listen, is there a level of blind faith that a lot of us are bringing in, myself included, in certain situations? 5 years from now, what if we look at Adam Peters and go, that guy actually doesn't know what he's doing? I don't think that's going to be the case. But what I am saying is, because of the organizations and the success those organizations have had that he's been a part of before, he's learned and he showed in year one he knows how to build a roster, because they clearly wildly exceeded all expectations last season. And a lot of it was patchwork with that roster. Guys on one-year deals, things like that. But now we're into the tough stuff. This is where you really make the big bucks, where you make the negotiations with the stars, and you think about not just now, but setting this team up for success years down the road. So Laremy Tunsil, if he has a Pro Bowl year this year, you can give him an extension next offseason. So Frankie Louvu can get an extension next offseason, and Tyler Biadasz, and name after name after name that's going to be an important part of this roster, so that they can build not just for the next couple of years, but they're building for legit success. Because wouldn't you love to see this team be in a spot where they're talked about like the Chiefs? I don't care if everybody hates them. This is just jealousy. I've been jealous of Patriots fans for 100 years, right? Now Chiefs fans. Wouldn't it be much better to be in a spot where you're looking at this team going, oh, they're built for the next 10 years. The most important positions, everything's in place. And it's exactly what they need. That's the best spot to be in. Getting it all together, setting it up for not just winning now, but winning in the future. All right. Nats Giants coverage coming up next. I'm back with you Monday and Tuesday night here on Overtime. It's good to be back home. Good to be talking about a team that's actually, it's really about football for a change. Nats Giants coverage coming up next. I'm Nick Ashew. Talk to you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.